The Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price, The Push. To impeach.
Declare President Donald J. Trump incapable of executing the duties of his office.
That is our top story at noon today. Tomorrow night, the U.S. House expected to vote on one article of impeachment against President Trump for last week's deadly riots at the U.S. Capitol. Democrats and a growing number of Republicans accuse the president of inciting an insurrection. Here's Michigan Republican Congressman Peter Meyer.
The first, second, and third people in the presidential line of succession, the vice president, the speaker of the House, and the president pro tempore of the Senate, were all in that building. This was a tragedy. This was awful, and it could have been even worse.
But former Harvard law professor Alan Dershowitz says the first House impeachment of President Trump was wrong. And so, too, is this one.
What the Democrats want to do is simply impeach him. They can do that. All you need is to have the votes, the majority. And Hamilton warned against impeachment by simply having the majority. But they don't want to actually bring him to trial. They just want to have the accusation hanging over him. It would be like a prosecutor indicting somebody for a serious crime and then saying, but we're not going to give you a trial where you can prove your innocence.
Dershowitz says some Democrats want to give the president a trial after he leaves office. Only one problem, though. They don't have the authority to do that.
There's no jurisdiction. Congress doesn't have the power to try anybody unless they're in office.
White House spokesman Hogan Gidley says there's a sense of irony with this impeachment push.
They attacked him before he even got in office. Now they're promising to attack him after he leaves office? It is clearly an effort to silence not just this president, but to come after us as American citizens as well.
Colorado Congressman Ken Buck says President-elect Joe Biden cannot sit on the sidelines for this one.
This president-elect could gain a lot of goodwill among Republicans and Democrats, frankly, but among Americans generally, if he told everybody, slow down, this president is not an imminent threat to this country at this point. Let's get through the inauguration and let's look back and make some decisions.
As the House gets set to hold its impeachment vote tomorrow night, lawmakers on both sides of the political aisle say there are security concerns with just over a week to go before the inauguration. Political analyst Gianno Caldwell says there is no benefit to the country right now by impeaching Donald Trump.
The president only has about a week left in office, and they're saying, hey, we're going to impeach him because he's that much of a threat. Well, truthfully speaking, he only has a matter of days in office. So what is he really going to do with a matter of days? I have no idea. I have no idea the reason for them pushing this other than to divide people even more. So I think this is problematic and it's going to continue to look that way. I just pray for America right now.
Last night, President Trump approved an emergency declaration in our nation's capital as the country gets set to usher in the Biden administration a week from tomorrow. The FBI also warning of armed protests at capitals across the country between now and next Wednesday. Minnesota Republican Congressman Pete Stauber.
Violence is wrong. It was wrong last Wednesday in the Capitol. It was wrong earlier this summer in Minneapolis when Minneapolis burned down.
Security has been beefed up in all 50 states in preparation for the inauguration of Joe Biden in just 8 days. While the FBI continues its investigation into last week's attack at the Capitol, there are at least 10 Capitol police officers who are also being looked at. Ohio Democrat Tim Ryan.
Have a couple of Capitol Police taking selfies and another Capitol Police evidently put on a MAGA hat and was walking people. I'm not sure all the details. They have been suspended.
Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick died after he was hit in the head with a fire extinguisher. The outgoing police chief says his request to have National Guard units on standby was denied. Meantime, Acting Director of Homeland Security Chad Wolf has stepped down. National Security Analyst Fran Townsend says the timing of his departure It's unfortunate.
The resignation of the Homeland Security Secretary 9 days before a national security special event is both disgraceful and irresponsible. I think he just doesn't want to be responsible for inauguration security after the debacle last week.
Townsend says Wolf's departure right before the inauguration of Joe Biden could not have come at a worse time. The social media site Parler has sued Amazon for cutting off its service in the wake of last week's riots.
We were number one on the App Store. We had 7 million, almost 7 million unique people on the app that day. And we get a notice, you know, you're in violation of our terms, one after another.
Parler CEO John Matz says big tech will silence anyone who doesn't share their worldview.
People threatening my life, I can't go home tonight. This is not just, you know, our civil liberties. They can shut down $1 billion company, half $1 billion to $1 billion company. That's what we were getting valuations at overnight.
Apple, Google, and Amazon all pulling the plug on Parler after last Wednesday's deadly riots at the Capitol. With COVID cases soaring, the vaccine still isn't reaching millions of Americans who need it the most. This woman got the jab in Glendale, Arizona.
I feel great. You know, I've been wanting to get it, and I didn't have to fight the website too badly.
And Disneyland in California will soon become a mass vaccination site.
The happiest place on Earth is soon to be the first COVID vaccine super site in Orange County. Disneyland will be the first of 5 regional vaccine point of dispensing sites, or pods. They'll have the capacity to vaccinate thousands of people per day.
That's Nicole Comstock reporting. A giant in the casino industry and a major Republican Party donor has died. Sheldon Adelson passed away last night following a lengthy illness. The founder of the Sands Casino in Vegas was the son of a cab driver and rose to become one of the richest men in the country. He once said,
I don't think I'm ever going to retire.
At the time of his death, Sheldon Adelson was worth around $35 billion. He was 87. Thanks, but no thanks. New England Patriots head coach Bill Belichick has declined the Presidential Medal of Freedom, citing last week's riots. The Hall of Fame coach says accepting the award just wouldn't be right at this time. President Trump was set to give him that award tomorrow. The celebration underway today in Tuscaloosa.
Football fans chucked social distancing and packed in after Alabama's 52-24 national championship victory over Ohio State. It's a record-breaking 7th championship for Coach Nick Saban.
Based on the circumstances, you know, this team has really accomplished a lot. To be able to do what they did.
Heisman winner Devontae Smith set a record for career receiving yards, catching 3 touchdown passes.
That is correspondent Deborah Rodriguez. Still to come this Tuesday, Governor Cuomo flip-flops the COVID vaccine machine in Syracuse and fans back in the stands in Buffalo.
Well, good afternoon to all. Rather quiet weather pattern carries us through the rest of the work week with just a few lake flakes and the occasional sunny break. I'll be back with forecast details in 10 minutes.
Okay, Kevin Williams, checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Tuesday, January 12th, a house fire earlier today in Carbondale, PA, has turned fatal. Officials say one person died in that blaze on Williams Avenue in Lackawanna County. A firefighter also hurt. Cause of the blaze still under investigation. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo singing a different tune during his State of the State address yesterday. After shutting down the state for nearly a year because of COVID-19, Cuomo now wants to reopen for business.
We simply cannot stay closed until the vaccine hits critical mass. The cost is too high. We will have nothing left to open.
New York City Republican Councilman Joe Borelli says he's pleased the governor wants to reopen the state. But where was that message 10 months ago?
Every governor wants his state of the state to make national news. And unfortunately, this governor is making national news because he's being so fundamentally hypocritical and going against everything he demanded New Yorkers do for the past few months.
Yesterday, Governor Cuomo unveiled a 7-point plan to jumpstart the state's economy in the aftermath of COVID. Joe Borelli says for a lot of small businesses across New York, you cannot jumpstart a thing because this governor has killed their livelihoods. forever.
It's definitely a punch in the gut. I mean, this is a guy who made no effort to reopen businesses while things were much better over the summer, late spring, early fall. This is a guy who made no urgency of reopening, you know, New York's economy whatsoever. I mean, the entire time. This is a complete 180 degree reversal of everything he's been digging his heels in now for almost a year.
Borelli says for a lot of businesses in New York, the governor's promises simply came too late. During yesterday's speech, the three-term Democrat also called for the legalization of adult use marijuana.
This will raise revenue and will end the overcriminalization of this product that has left so many communities of color over-policed and over-incarcerated.
But critics say the money raised through legalized pot is not worth the risk. The governor wants to expand online sports betting, too. Pro-family groups fear that will create a whole new generation of gambling addicts. Governor Cuomo wants to expand early voting.
Yeah, in this week's series of State of the State speeches, the governor will propose expanding access to absentee ballots and allowing additional time to cast ballots prior to Election Day. The governor is also calling for speeding up the vote counting after the polls close election night. Now, many Republicans argue early voting is susceptible to fraud and abuse. Bob Price, Family Life News.
A Pennsylvania brewery is no longer complying with COVID-19 restrictions in the Keystone State. Jordan Cyrilnik co-owns the Seven Sirens Brewing Company in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
We've complied the last 10 months, everything they've asked us to do. Mm-hmm. There was different color phases of reopening, and we've adapted to each one. Mm-hmm. And we've actually gone back and forth a few times. And, you know, like I said, as long as we can stay at the proven mitigation efforts that we've implemented for the last 5 months, we can kind of just skate through this.
Cyrilnik says he won't shut down if Governor Tom Wolf issues another lockdown. He says they're in survival mode right now. The massive COVID-19 vaccination process continues at the War Memorial in Syracuse, New York.
Every year we put forward our vaccination plans for events like this. It's just we just don't get the 100-year pandemic every year.
Onondaga County Executive Ryan McMahon says they've been vaccinating against the virus for 2 weeks now.
It's an emotional experience for a lot of people, the people getting the vaccine. But for our team who's able to actually do this, this is meaningful. Work. This is the most meaningful work they'll probably do in their careers. So I'm very proud.
McMahon says the assembly line process inside the War Memorial has run about as smoothly as it can. Everyone has an appointment. Everyone fills out the paperwork, and then everyone rolls up the sleeve to get their jab. Fans back in the stands for Saturday night's playoff game between Buffalo and Baltimore.
Very excited. It's like one of the things I've wanted my entire life is just to go to a real meaningful Bills game.
25-year-old Nick Bittner, one of the lucky 6,700 fans allowed back into Bills Stadium for the big game. And just like last week's playoff game, every fan has to test negative for COVID.
I was offered opportunities to go over to friend's house to watch the last game, but since you have to test negative, I was very careful and I was like, okay, I'm not going to risk it right now because just the potential is there for this to happen and it's worth the sacrifice to miss out on one potentially fun experience for one that's going to be even better.
COVID testing for the fans will take place tomorrow and Thursday. For those not lucky enough to be at the game, kickoff between the Bills and the Ravens Saturday night, 8:15 on NBC. The Bills going to be on the big screen in Lockport, New York this weekend. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Bills fans that can't sit in the stands can still watch Buffalo play Baltimore this weekend. The Transit Drive-In in Lockport, New York will put the game on their big screen for free. Gates open at 6 p.m. Saturday with kickoff between the Bills and Ravens at 8:15 p.m. The drive-in environment will provide an entertaining and socially distant way to watch the playoff game. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Bama on top of the college football world. Sunny time, your two-minute drill.
Yeah, so what do you get when you have a college football team with the Outland Trophy winner for best offensive lineman, the Davey O'Brien Trophy for best quarterback, Doak Walker Trophy for best running back, and the Maxwell Award for best wide receiver? Oh yeah, that wide receiver just also happens to be the Walter Camp winner for player of the year and the Heisman Trophy winner, Devontae Smith. You get the Alabama Crimson Tide, who crushed Ohio State last night, 52-24 in the national championship game. Smith needed just two quarters to make history. He caught 12 passes, a college football playoff title game record. His 215 receiving yards were the second most, and his three receiving touchdowns tied the title game record before he had to leave the game with an injury. Head coach Nick Saban impressed.
I heard somebody say he set some kind of record in the first half of the game. Heavens knows what he'd have done if he'd have played the whole game.
And Saban with the record, his seventh national championship, sixth at Alabama, passing Bear Bryant.
I think Coach Bryant is, you know, sort of in a class of his own in terms of what he was able to accomplish, what his record is. And, I mean, he's the one that made Alabama.
The other big story, the Eagles have parted ways with head coach Doug Peterson. ESPN reports the Eagles have fired Peterson following multiple meetings with owner Jeffrey Lurie. The report says Lurie was not convinced of the vision Peterson had to fix several issues, including the quarterback situation. It was just 3 years ago Peterson coached Philadelphia to their first Super Bowl victory, but the Eagles just finished the season 4-11-1. This season missed the playoffs for the first time since 2016. And the NHL and its clubs will lose billions of dollars during the 2021 season as it's held without fans, according to Commissioner Gary Bettman. ESPN reports some owners told the commissioner they'd rather sit out than incur these massive losses, but Bettman says it's crucial for the league not to be out of sight and out of mind. The NHL kicks off its regular season tomorrow. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphier.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, the push to impeach. It's underway on Capitol Hill. Security being beefed up ahead of Biden's inauguration next week. And at the end of today's broadcast, All in the Family. 50 years old today.
The movie Soul is clever and compelling. Might be a little goofy, but in the end, it's got a really good message. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. It remains to be seen which of the COVID-caused disruptions to our previous way of life will permanently change things. For example, while parents of small children won't miss the popcorn prices, it still feels a bit strange for a brand new movie to go straight to our living room instead of the theater. Still, Disney Pixar's latest release, Soul, is easily worth breaking out the Orville Redenbacher for. Pixar has a reputation and a knack for telling really great stories. In fact, let's play. Name that film. A toy dealing with a midlife crisis? How about a fish with short-term memory loss? What about an unlikely pair on an unusual flight to South America in a house? Or a rat who becomes an award-winning chef? Even with storylines that seem like unlikely fits for children's movies, Pixar consistently produces creative and touching animation. Some of the best in our culture, in fact. Their films also are frequently countercultural. A dominant theme running through Pixar's canon is the journey to find one's purpose in life. The deafening message across most of pop culture, especially in films and music often aimed at kids, is, you know, look inside, or follow your dreams, or trust your heart. In contrast, Pixar's most memorable characters face disappointment, frustration, even the death of their dreams. In fact, if we're honest, death is a recurring theme in Pixar features. I don't want to give away too much here, but Soul is no exception. The main character in this urban jazz scene-themed story dies almost right out of the gate, just as he's on the cusp of his big break as a musician. Just when it seems his whole life is about to start, it ends. And the rest of this heartwarming and surprisingly funny movie is spent wrestling with a very important question. Do our lives have meaning if we never achieve our purpose? And in the end, meaning is not found by acquiring fame or financial success. Rather, meaning is found in learning to see life's inherent but overlooked wonders, and by learning to love the life he's actually been given, which, in his case, includes bad middle school music, New York pizza, a dingy apartment, a loving and opinionated mother, among other things. Now, to be clear, as a few Christian reviewers have pointed out, Soul's excellent lesson comes wrapped in a bit of New Age mysticism like chakras and astral planes and the idea of pre-existing souls in some vast great before. And even though Soul presents these ideas with a good bit of goofiness, parents will want to talk through the movie's theological errors. In one scene in Soul, some so-called lost souls, coded in their own obsessions and insecurities, wander through a spiritual dimension. attention, oblivious to all around them. There's more than a hint here that this is a kind of hell, the fate for those who follow their dreams or succumb to their fears at the expense of anything and everything and everyone else. The whole scene is a profound and subtle rebuke of one of our culture's central and mistaken assumptions, that meaning can be measured by paychecks or popularity. And in the end, this film echoes one of Christianity's central insights, that all of life, when lived for a higher purpose, is sacred. As William Tyndale said, to wash dishes and to preach is all one, as touching the deed to please God. After a year of disappointments, canceled plans, and dashed hopes, this redemptive message is one that many need to hear. And though the zany cartoon metaphysics of Disney Pixar's latest film may seem a bit odd, trust me, this one, in the end, has a Christian soul. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Let's head outside, Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Our weather pattern remains rather tame for this time of year. A time of year that can bring snowstorms and blizzards and ice storms and wind and record cold and unsettled weather, to say the least. We'll have none of that this week. Pattern looks to be rather placid, relatively calm. Our cold front, though, does arrive to start the weekend with colder air and some snow opportunities then. But in the meantime, it will be partly sunny this afternoon in parts of central and eastern Pennsylvania. Otherwise, it'll be cloudy with some lake flurries across parts of western New York. High temperatures 30s, dropping into the 20s tonight. Tomorrow, clouds, some sunshine in the 30s. Thursday, clouds, a little sun, and high temperatures in the upper 30s to the lower 40s.
Okay, Kevin Williams, if you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today. Tuesday, January 12th, the U.S. House set to vote tomorrow night on one article of impeachment against the president for last week's deadly riots at the U.S. Capitol. California Democrat Ted Lieu.
The best way to heal and unify our nation is to hold accountable those who attacked our Capitol and those who incited that attack.
In a phone call with House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy yesterday, President Trump did acknowledge that he played at least a partial role in the violent attack on the Capitol. Even so, George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley says the president's speech last week does not warrant his impeachment.
It's ironic, because in the last impeachment, I chastised the Democrats for impeaching on the thinnest record in the shortest period of time of any presidential impeachment. They've now outdone themselves. They're going to go straight to the floor, essentially, and just do an up or down vote.
Turley says our founding fathers blocked this impulse by impeachment effort in the U.S. Constitution. Security being beefed up at state capitals all across the country ahead of Biden's inauguration next week. Here's correspondent Catherine Herridge.
In a bulletin sent to law enforcement, the FBI warns extremists are calling for demonstrations, some armed, and storming federal, state, and local courthouses if President Trump is removed from office early.
That's Catherine Herridge reporting. Disneyland in California will be the site of a new massive COVID vaccination effort as the Golden State continues to be at the epicenter of the virus. 30,000 deaths now in California being blamed on the bug. 8 gorillas at the San Diego Zoo have also contracted COVID-19. In Florida, 54-year-old Hillsborough County Sheriff's Corporal Brian Levine was about to enter a new chapter in his life. But Sheriff Chad Cronister says he died yesterday when a fleeing suspect crashed into the driver's side of his cruiser.
He had one more shift before his retirement. We have met with the family. You can only imagine the pain that they're going through being one shift away from retirement.
Cronister says Corporal Levine was a 30-year veteran of the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department in Florida. He leaves behind a wife and 2 daughters. It could be a banner year for gun sales across the country. Officials say those sales have spiked ever since last week's attack at the Capitol. Last year, gun sales hit record highs as those concerned about a Joe Biden administration stocked up on firearms. Patriots head coach Bill Belichick has turned down a Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Even though he and Mr. Trump are friends, Belichick says his decision was based on last week's events at the Capitol. Belichick says he was flattered, but has decided not to move forward.
That's Peter King reporting. The ceremony was supposed to take place at the White House tomorrow. Former baseball great Daryl Strawberry out with a new book called Turn Your Season Around. In it, Strawberry shares how his faith in Christ saved his life.
I took off the baseball uniform from being a baseball player, and I committed myself to Christ and the biblical principles, and I started on a journey that's far greater than anything you could ever imagine. You know, God's love is greater than baseball success, fame, trophies.
Strawberry, who struggled with drug addiction for most of his big league career, says politics and a pandemic might get you down these days. But that doesn't mean you have to stay there.
I just think God is using this book to elevate people's lives right where they're at and meet them right where they're at. And for people to understand that Jesus is Lord, no matter what we're going through, he's still king. He's still sitting on the throne. He's still ruling reign. And all we got to do is follow the principles and live by them.
Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life. Available in bookstores everywhere. A new era on Jeopardy. Interim guest host Ken Jennings at the helm now. Last night was the first episode without the iconic late host Alex Trebek, and Jennings addressed his absence.
Not many things in life are perfect, but Alex did this job pretty much perfectly for more than 36 years, and it was even better up close. We were dazzled by his intelligence, his charm, his grace. Really, there's no other word for it.
Jennings says his goal is not to replace Alex Trebek, but to honor him by continuing to play the game he loved so much. 25 minutes past the hour. Next at noon, Family Life News goes one-on-one with Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson. Our very own Bob Price sat down with the Republican this morning to get his take on the impeachment, the siege at the Capitol, and what's next for America.
This is a tumultuous week in our nation's capital. The House is about to make history, we're told, by voting to impeach President Trump a second time. That will happen. That vote will happen tomorrow. Congressman, I know that you are vehemently opposed to this effort, given what this nation has been through in the last week or so. What do you think the motivation here is for House Democrats, given that President Trump only has a few days left on the job?
It's a derangement, unfortunately, and it's driven by the woman who kind of started this process almost a year ago when she, before the nation, tore up the State of the Union address, and that would be Speaker Pelosi. You know, we have responsibilities as leaders, obviously, especially during great times of turmoil and hurting and division. And this country has been, I think, has been divided politically, you know, almost as bad as the Civil War.
Yeah.
And the one thing I've learned, Bob, was my 13 years, there's only one person that has their office in the middle of the Capitol, directly behind the rotunda, and that is the Speaker of the House. And that is because the Speaker is responsible for all concerns of the Capitol, and that includes safety and security. And yet she has not taken any responsibility. Everybody that resigned or was fired reported to her. And so it is time for healing. This impeachment vote, it's like putting gasoline on a fire.
Yeah.
When you have such a divided nation. Yeah. And a leader should know better.
Yeah, and ironically, the theme of Joe Biden's inauguration is unity, and it just kind of it begs the question: how does this effort in the House tomorrow unify a fractured country? Maybe I'm missing something here, GT, but as you said, it just appears to be pouring more gas on the fire. Senator Marco Rubio said something yesterday. I just want to get your reaction to it. He said that this effort is as much about the people who voted for President Trump as it is those crazies that stormed the Capitol last week. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that there is definitely a division. I know we had a lot of buses because of the proximity of Pennsylvania. We had a lot of buses that came down from many counties. And as I talked to some of those buses when they're on their way, I would call the person that I know that was coordinating. And one of the things I asked them to do, Bob, was pray for Mike Pence, pray for our vice president, because I knew Mike Pence was going to do what was constitutionally correct. And he did. He managed that process as a statesman, which doesn't surprise me at all. And these buses came down. They attended the rally. They walked. They marched. They expressed their First Amendment. But they didn't go to the Capitol. They got on the bus and went back home. And that was, I think there was tens of thousands of people that that's what they did. They did it peacefully. In fact, many of them I know were not aware of what was going on. But then, quite frankly, at the Capitol, we had people that were criminals. It was a terrible day for the nation, a very, very sad day. But I will say it speaks to the resiliency of America.
Yeah.
Because within hours of the Capitol really being taken, and that's what it was, there's still blood on the floor. And hours later, we were back in the chamber performing our constitutional responsibility. And that speaks to the resiliency of this nation.
It really does. And then finally, I want to talk about security for the inauguration itself. The FBI sent an alert yesterday warning all 50 state capitals that there could be unrest next Wednesday. We've seen the Capitol locked down now like we haven't in a long time. Are you confident that the events of next Wednesday, January 20th, will be peaceful? How confident can the American people be that there will be a peaceful transfer of power next Wednesday?
Well, I don't know. Honestly, I'd like to tell you that I'm confident that will occur. I think it will. But more than that, I hope and pray that it will. It's a hallmark of our nation, that we have always, determined our leadership at the ballot box and not through the bullet box. And this inauguration is already scaled down dramatically. There's not going to be a large gathering. I know the mayor of the District of Columbia is calling for a virtual inauguration as opposed to being one that's very public and in person. And I think those decisions are still being made.
Thank you, guys. Pennsylvania Republican Congressman Glenn Thompson speaking with our own Bob Price earlier today.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Our weather pattern remains rather tame for this time of year, a time of year that can bring snowstorms and blizzards and ice storms and wind and record cold and unsettled weather, to say the least. We'll have none of that this week. Pattern looks to be rather placid, relatively calm. Our cold front, though, does arrive to start the weekend with cold, rare, and some snow opportunities then. But in the meantime, it will be partly sunny this afternoon in parts of central and eastern Pennsylvania. Otherwise, it'll be cloudy with some lake flurries across parts of western New York. High temperatures 30s, dropping into the 20s tonight. Tomorrow, clouds, some sunshine in the 30s. Thursday, clouds, a little sun, and high temperatures in the upper 30s to the lower 40s.
All right, Kevin Williams, finally at noon. Today we pay tribute to a TV sitcom that changed everything in the land of television.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
50 years ago today.
Songs that made my hit parade.
An unlikely situation comedy debuted. Nothing like it had ever been seen before. Its main character was Archie Bunker, a blue-collar worker who seemed to have issues with virtually every minority group and every liberal point of view.
In the Bible, it says, God made man his own image. He made women after, from a rib, a sheep a cut.
TV critic Howard Rosenberg.
All the Family was the ultimate oxymoron. It was a show about a likable bigot, a lovable racist.
A situation comedy allowed Americans to look at their very different points of view.
Steve Futterman reporting, All in the Family, 50 years old today. That is the world we live in this Tuesday. As always, thanks for joining us. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.